This TFMR podcast is brought to you by your friends at JM Bullion. Visit jmbullion.com for all your gold and silver bullion needs. Well, greetings out there to everybody at TFMR. Hey, it's Monday, August the 15th, the dreaded Ides of August. And it's something a little different from the usual podcast today. I'll add some charts and some other updates to the comments of this thread. But I had gotten an opportunity to get an update from David Garofalo on the company he's currently running, Gold Royalty Corp. Many of you will remember we've spoken with David about this a couple of times in the last, year and a half. And I thought this was a perfect time to get back in touch with him and find out what's going on. I'll explain more so in a minute. David Garofalo, of course, longtime precious metals industry executive. He was the CEO at Goldcorp when the merger took place with Newmont. And this latest company he's running called Gold Royalty Corp. And it's just been a pleasure to get to know him and get to talk to him every once in a while. So, David, thank you for spending a few minutes with me on an otherwise fine Monday.
Well, I'm really glad to be here, Craig. Thanks for inviting me on.
Well, I very much appreciate getting the chance to talk to you and sharing some information, not only on the business side of the precious metals, but also this current company that you're running. I want to get into the specifics again about Gold Royalty Corp in a minute, but I kind of want to start first with just this crazy time that we're in. I mean, why don't we just talk kind of big picture? I mean, I think we all expected, the first several months, maybe 6 months of this year to be kind of challenging with all of the gobbledygook coming out of the Fed, about hiking rates and all that kind of jazz. But within the way inflation's been and the U.S. being in a recession and the Fed still playing their rhetorical games, how surprised are you that gold is still where it is? Does it seem undervalued to you? I mean, what price do you have in your business plans? What do you, and based on your experience, what do you make of all this?
Well, it's deep value right now, particularly given that the Federal Reserve will have to turn on its heels and start easing again. That's inevitable, just given the amount of debt that we strapped on globally. It's three times the level it was on a per capita basis than it was in the last big inflationary cycle in the 1970s. So debt to GDP globally is 325% today. Back in the last big inflation cycle in the late 70s, it was only 100%. So debt was sustainable back then. It's not now. And so the Federal Reserve really has no scope to raise interest rates in any sort of dramatic fashion without bankrupting governments, corporations, individuals. There just isn't that latitude. So they're going to be quite tentative in terms of what they do from here in this tightening cycle. And I think that's a bit of a misnomer because I don't think it's going to be a tightening cycle for much longer. And I think that gold will start to reflect the need to go back to easy money. And gold is not easy money. It's very hard money to find. Mm-hmm. It can't be printed readily. It can't be mined readily. Global supply is declining. Reserves in the ground are declining. And so gold is going to become increasingly scarce in an environment where money is going to become increasingly easy to find.
David, does it surprise you that this stuff still works for them? I mean, you've been an industry leader, you've run businesses, a big market participant. Does it surprise you that people still buy this? That the Fed still, says, yes, we're going to do this and we're going to run off the balance sheet. I mean, they've been saying this now for over a dozen years. I mean, at some point, doesn't somebody kind of not necessarily call their bluff, but call BS?
And look, I think the cracks are showing. Just look at what's happened to the general equity markets this year. They're down in North America over 10%, and they're poised to go even further down because what hasn't happened is we haven't seen earnings come down. We've seen the price to earnings multiples start to come down and compress. What we haven't seen is a downward adjustment in earnings. And in this inflationary environment, with cost structures inflating, and many corporations, and in particular in the mining industry, and we can talk about that a little later on, we are going to see a compression of earnings, and that'll result in another leg down in equities. So I do think that we're in for a correction, and that's reflective of the excesses that have been introduced in the system really over the last dozen years or so since the last credit crisis. It's coming to roost now. And that's why gold, I think, ultimately will be a preserver of capital and value in an environment where we're seeing equity valuations, multiples get compressed dramatically.
All right. Well, so this is where I wanted to ask you, and I don't know how much you still know much, you know, about your former company, you know, after the merger of Goldcorp and Newmont. But I mean, the miners have just stunk on ice this year, really. I mean, there was that period between mid-April to mid-July or so where gold fell about 10%. And the shares just, you know, so many were just decimated. And I mean, it was just 4 weeks ago today, David, I was doing my daily podcast and I looked up and Newmont was down like 13% that day, which made it down 50% in 3 months from 88 to 44. It was grossly oversold. We were kind of laughing on the site about how you'd see an RSI of 13, which is just like incredibly oversold. Let's start there. I mean, I know every company has their own specific fundamentals and stuff like that, but why would the miners be that out of favor? Is it just a combination of a falling price for their product and an increasing cost at the margin, or what does all of this tell you, having observed this for the last couple of months?
Well, gold has actually held value, even though the general equity markets are down about 10% or so in North America in the last, 6-8 months. We've actually seen gold fairly flat. It's north of $1,800. Mm-hmm. Really, so it hasn't been a function of the gold price. I think what's happened with Newmont, and Newmont is the bellwether stock, yep, the largest market cap company, largest producer in the world as well. And, so people look at them as the bellwether. And what we're seeing is a microcosm of what's happening in the industry generally is costs are inflating. Mining companies are not immune. The operators in particular are not immune from inflation in the general economy. And also, I think that's amplified by the fact that the industry is severely underinvested in exploration and mine development over the last decade. And we've seen reserves decline 40% as a result. And so in the face of that inflation environment, they're having to reinvest back in their business to replace depleting reserves. So that's exacerbating the inflation of their cost structures that they're seeing. So it's not just a Newmont phenomenon. We've seen a steady parade of mining producers report compressed earnings in the face of inflation in a flat gold price environment. So we're going to see, I think, a continued compression of multiples in the gold space as a result among the producers. And that's why, you know, after 32 years of being on that side of the fence, mm-hmm, and operating and building mines, I've switched over to the royalty business on the precious metal side because I want that leverage to the gold price. I do believe that gold is going to go to 3,000 and beyond in this inflationary environment, but I don't want to be exposed to inflation and the cost structures of mining businesses. And that's why in the royalty business, it's the optimum place to be because you get that top line exposure with complete insulation from operating and capital cost inflation.
Well, and I remember the last time we spoke, we kind of framed it as, you know, like any old stockbroker's parlance, you know, a 60-40 blend of equity and fixed income sort of thing, you know, where you got your growth side of your actual producing miners, but then maybe you've got, you know, this kind of diversified side of royalty companies. And I guess to some extent, you know, I mean, I look at like the biggest one, Franco Nevada, went from 170 to 130. So that's down like 20% over that same, you know, April to July timeframe. But I mean, were you just kind of pulling your hair out because not only your producing mine company like Newmont gets cut in half, but your stock got cut in half too?
It's been a baby in the bathwater type of market. And you can imagine that as margin calls were made on investors over the course of the last 6 or 8 months in the face of a very, very bearish equity markets, everything was getting sold. Mm-hmm. You've got a loan being called, you sell the most liquid stocks you have. We're a very liquid company. We have the same relative liquidity as Franco Nevada in terms of our ability to trade our market cap right within 135 days. It's a very, very liquid stock, even though we're a much smaller company. So the most liquid stocks are getting hit the hardest. because they're the ones that can be sold to pay off margin. And as I said earlier on, there's copious amounts of debt that are being carried by investors, by corporations, by governments, and that's resulting in a lot of strain on the economy, and it's compressing all equity valuations. But it's overdone in the royalty space for the precise reason you and I have been talking about before, is we don't have cost inflation. You know, we have 7 employees. We could run a business 10 times the size with the same 7 employees. So really have a very, very small cost structure. And as the gold price goes up, we get the full upside potential of that reflected in our bottom line, because we get top line exposure. We're not exposed to costs at the operating sites.
Well, and that's what seems like such a head scratcher. I mean, I looked at Newmont and thought, okay, I don't think they're going out of it. I mean, if you thought it was overvalued at 88, well, then you've got to think it's undervalued at 44. And I thought, okay, well, I'm going to just go ahead and kind of average in and buy some more. And that was, I guess, now in a roundabout sense, that's what I'm getting to here. I mean, for the longest time, a year, year plus, whatever, Gold Royalty Corp was mainly just between 5 and 6, very stable, you know, nice part of my portfolio. And now it's 3. I mean, after falling to 250. And so I'm coming at this from a point of view of, I mean, is it time to average in and get some more? I don't recall anything negatively happening to the company over the last several months. Like you said, it's been thrown out with the bathwater. And you mentioned before we started recording that today's earnings release day. So bring us up to speed on everything that's been going on, even though the stock's been going down.
Well, you've hit the nail on the head. The business has never been more sound. In fact, we're reporting record revenues for the third quarter, our third quarter fiscal year. We have a year end of September 30th, and we have record revenues for the 9 months, and we have the highest compounded annual growth rate in revenues in the industry over the next 5 to 10 years, because we have 200 royalties in the portfolio. And 8 of them are currently cash flowing, and there's another 20 in various stages of construction and development. So we have a very, very strong portfolio of royalties that are delivering increasing revenue with a very flat cost structure going forward. So as you can imagine, we're going to see that earnings multiple start to get expanded over the course of the next several years as we deliver and crystallize on that growth. And if you're wondering whether to average in or not, well, we're paying you to wait and to invest, because we have almost a 1.5% yield in our stock.
Right.
We introduced a dividend 10 months after we IPO'd, and that's unprecedented in the royalty space, and certainly very uncommon in the general equity space. And that's because we have strong cash flow currently, and we have such high confidence in our cash flow growth going forward. And I can say with a great degree of conviction that I expect our dividend to grow over time as our revenue goes up, because as I said, our costs are not going to go up.
And your actual portfolio of royalties, didn't you say it's close to 200, something like that?
That's right. And that kind of diversification, you can't hope to get in a mining company.
Right.
And so, as I said, operating companies are exposed to cost inflation. That's a strike against them. The other thing is, even the biggest mining companies in the world, Newmont being chief among them, can never hope to operate more than a dozen or 15 mines. So there's a limit to the diversification they can introduce into their portfolio. We can have almost an infinite number of royalties without really expanding our employee base or headcount out dramatically. As I said, we can run a business 10 times the size with the same 7 employees that we have currently. And so we have the ability to diversify far and beyond what any operating company can practically do.
Now, I'm looking at a page. I'll put this page on the podcast page where people are listening to this audio. I'm looking at a page from the goldroyalty.com website, and it's of your portfolio. 198 royalties across a couple of continents. There's a few down in South America, but it looks like most are in the U.S. in Nevada, which is, I think, one of the best producing gold jurisdictions in the world. They're also in Alaska and Quebec and Ontario. I see some of the names you're working with here, from Barrick and AEM and First Majestic and Yamana and Coeur and Gold Mining and down the list. It's a diverse portfolio, but there's probably 2 or 3 that kind of stick out as your crown jewel. Can you tell us a little bit about them?
Well, interestingly, you're right. We're 100% in the Americas currently, but 75% of the value of our business is in Nevada, Quebec and Ontario, which are the three best rated jurisdictions in the world in which to operate a mine for mineral potential, low political risk, and low regulatory risk. And so, yeah, we have some concentration, but it's in the best jurisdictions and some of the best assets in the world. We have a royalty on Canada's biggest gold mine, Canadian Malartic, and its underground extension, Odyssey, in which Agnico Eagle and Yamana are investing $1.6 billion currently. We have a royalty on what's going to be Canada's second biggest gold mine, Côté Gold, in Ontario, which will be starting up in early 2024, operated by IAM Gold out of Canada as well. And then finally, we have a royalty on the underground extension of the U.S.'s biggest gold mine, Goldstrike. It's called REN, the underground extension of Goldstrike. It's currently an open pit mine, but they intend to mine an underground extension that has a grade that's seven times what they're mining in the open pit. And they've already delineated a large resource there, and they're drilling it out aggressively. And they're going to grow that resource and then integrate into the mine plan in the short to medium term. So that those are three examples among our 200 royalties. So it's not just about quantity, it's quality, because those three assets in particular have multi-decades of reserves. So there's a foundational annuity element to our portfolio that's the envy of every other royalty company in the sector.
Now, a couple of our friends have been invested with you in this company really since the beginning too. I know Eric Sprott has been involved in it, Rob McEwen, others that folks would recognize. Those guys still in the stock? Is it something that you've got to, I mean, going out and raising capital or anything like that that people need to know about?
Yeah, and you know, among those names, you mentioned them, like Jimmy Lee, who was one of the founding shareholders of Golden Valley. He was the biggest shareholder. He held on to his stock when we took over Golden Valley last year. And as a result of that takeover, we got the Canadian Malartic royalty as well. He's a big believer in what we're doing in terms of the quality and scale of what we're trying to build. And Ian Telfer, who founded Wheaton Precious Metals 15 years ago, is a founding shareholder as well. And he's the chair of our advisory board. And so he's still involved intimately with the company and advising us as we expand and scale up our business and try to achieve the scale that Wheaton did under his stewardship. So we're very, very fortunate to have a roster of very, very impressive people. And among our board of management, we have over 400 years of operating and mine development expertise, which is unique in the space because a lot of royalty companies are run by financial engineers, not people that have actually built mines.
Yeah.
And I think that's a unique value proposition because it gives us a clear-eyed view of the underlying risk of what we're investing in because we've been operators and mine developers ourselves. So we know the risks that those people face. So we can price that appropriately when we put capital into them and take a royalty back. But because of that experience, we also have access to virtually everybody in the mining business. And that's given us the ability to grow our business from 14 royalties in our IPO back in March of 2021 to almost 200 royalties today, because we've gotten access to opportunities that many of our competitors weren't even aware of because of the relationships we have in the industry.
So getting back to price in your share price, because, and I want to make sure we covered this point, because, you know, that diversification of having some royalty companies in your portfolio has certainly served me well over the last several years. How sensitive is your share price then to movements in gold? I mean, obviously, I mean, it's been very sensitive over the last 100 days, which doesn't really make it more sensitive than it should be. But shouldn't it, if I were to relate it to, like, you know, another old stockbroker term was beta, you know, that you had these maybe assets that weren't quite closely correlated to the stock market, you know, to kind of give you that diversification. How sensitive is your business plan to the gold, to the actual price of gold?
Well, so let me give you a very tangible example, looking at a specific period in time in terms of how royalty companies perform relative to the producers. So let's look at coming out of the credit crisis about a dozen years ago. And gold flew at the time. It went up 140%. And we were in the midst of the Chinese super cycle. And you would have thought the mine producers would have benefited from that surge in the gold price. But the reality is they were investing in new mine development. They were investing in exploration. And they saw their costs inflate back then. So as a result, they actually underperformed the commodity. So the producers... Mm-hmm. ones, they were only up about 60 or 70%. And as I said, the gold price was up almost 140%. And the reason they underperform is because they had inflation in their cost structures, much as they're experiencing currently. And what we saw the royalty and streaming companies do is they outperformed the commodity almost threefold. They were up almost 350% over that same period of time because, again, they provide a top-line exposure with complete insulation from operating capital cost inflation that the producers were experiencing.
Right.
I think we're going to see a repeat of that phenomenon, notwithstanding the performance we've seen in equities generally and gold equities in particular over the last 6 or 9 months. I think over the course of the cycle, the royalty and streaming companies will do extremely well because they provide you optimum leverage to the gold price, optimum leverage to exploration because the royalties benefit from exploration, right? As the deposits get grown through the exploration efforts of our operating partners, our royalty value grows because we have a royalty not only on the existing deposits, but the growth in them geologically. And that's exactly what happened back in 2012. In the midst of the Chinese super cycle, all the producers were investing significant amounts of capital in exploration and mine development. So we saw gold reserves peak in 2012, and that contributed to the outperformance of the royalty companies enjoyed because they had the royalty on that exploration upside.
Okay, so let's kind of wrap up with this question then, David, because again, I think it, to me, it doesn't seem very complicated with the stock below $3. But I've seen research reports, I've seen some price targets out there that are, 2 to 3 times where we are. Obviously, the company rebounds as it grows, and the gold price goes up. You've already paid the dividend, so that attracts people too. But what are the next, big moves you have in mind to keep driving the company forward and see the share price go up?
Well, even if we did no other deals with 200 royalties, and as I said, 20 of them in development, so very, very close to production, we are going to be delivering the best growth profile and revenues in the entire royalty sector over the next 5 to 10 years from the existing portfolio. If we did nothing else other than allowed those assets to come to fruition, you're going to see dramatic increases in cash flow, profitability, and I think inevitably dividends as well. And so I think we've got a great story. That being said, as our share price starts to reflect that, we'll continue to grow. We'll continue to put capital to work in new royalty companies and compound the returns that we expect to get from the existing portfolio.
Sure makes sense to me, my friend. This all kind of came together in my head after watching the last 100 days. And then, when we noticed Newmont, and that's been on people's minds here for the last month. And then when I thought of your company, I thought, well, I'm not sure what I'm missing. And as we find out over the last 20 minutes, I don't think I'm missing much at all. You said the earnings came out here on Monday. There's a shareholder or a conference call coming up later this week. Other things that everybody should keep their eyes on and going to the website, things like that.
Absolutely. No, keep an eye on things. As I said, we're continuously looking for new opportunities to deploy capital, compound the returns on our existing asset base. So we'll be very busy, and I think adding to the portfolio, which already is near the top of the industry in terms of number of royalties and the diversification that delivers.
All right, everybody. Like I always say, you don't want to just take my word for it or David's word for it. You got to do your own due diligence. You got to do check your time horizons and your risk tolerance and everything else that goes with it. But for me, gosh, a chance to not necessarily double down, but add to a position here after this stock has come down 50% in 100 days certainly sounds interesting. Again, the symbol GROY trades on New York Stock Exchange here in the U.S., Gold Royalty Corp. And of course, David Garofalo is the CEO. David, thank you so much for your time. This has been really helpful.
Thanks, Craig. Thanks for having me on.
It's always good to visit with you, my friend, and maybe we'll check in with you again later this year. From all of us, though, here at TFMR, this is your podcast for today, Monday the 15th, and we'll get back to business as usual tomorrow. We'll have another podcast for you then. But for now, thank you for listening. Have a great rest of your day.